Well, on behalf of Kathy and Tony and me, we would like to thank Mike and Diane for bringing us over here, because we say to each other, how did we get here? You know, how come that we're here? And this is a long way, you know, we're a long way from home. And but by God's wonderful grace, here we are, and we just thank you both, because it's, you know, a big job getting us here, and a big job having all of us here. So all is well, and so we are grateful, and thank you. And thank you for all of you guys for coming. I said to Kathy, everybody knows you, Kathy. It's a bit strange when people come up to you and they know you and you don't know, never heard of them. It's a bit of a strange experience. So anyway, we are living in an absolutely wonderful, wonderful time. But Jesus always said, can you hear it? Can we hear it? Because, you see, God wants to do something that is so completely different that we have known all our lives. And He doesn't even want us to remember the former things. Now, you've worked that one out. And that's not always easy, not to remember the former things. Because they are kind of our flesh. You can feel it in your flesh sometimes, these former things. But God says, don't remember these former things. Behold, I'll do something new, you know. And truth can be shocking. I know when it started with us in the 1980s, Tony will be preaching and he'd be saying things, and all the scriptures that were opposite to what he was saying started to go through my mind, you know. And I'm sitting there listening, and he's coming out with all these wonderful, really life-changing truths. For one, I think you all are familiar with that now, that God is not going to put us in hell to burn for eternity, or even those that don't love Him. Now, that was in the 80s. Half our church left. We had 150 about, and that started to come out. And they wanted a God that was going to judge them. Judge the ones that did not, haven't heard of Jesus yet. And they come with rows of scriptures telling us that this is what God is going to do. So we are now quite, 20 or something years further down. And we heard about this guy, Rob Bell, up in... And he was but he's got, I don't know, 10,000 or something coming. So I am glad that times are changing. Can you see that? Something wonderful is happening. We're all coming to know the true God that Jesus prayed. He prayed. He said that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ His Son, for that is the life eternal. And you know, when I saw that a few years ago, I said, Jesus, why did you have to pray that? You know, why did you pray that? And when I was thinking back to the early 1980s, when this man came and preached at our camp, and he said, you've all got different gods. And I'm sitting in this pew, you know, listening to him, and I thought, now, how can that be? We've all got the Lord Jesus Christ as our God. And you know, I just, when I hear things that kind of shock me, I keep them. I keep them in my heart. You know, I don't understand. I didn't understand what he was saying. And 10 years later, the revelation came. That I had a concept of God. When he said that, I was sitting there not knowing that I had a concept of God. And I still had Jesus out there coming back one day to come and get me, you know, to save me out of this terrible situation that this world, this terrible world. And so everything is changing now, you know, and it's really a wonderful, wonderful time that we are living in. So I'm just going to lay a little bit of a foundation. Now, I think all of you guys that are here already might already really understand and know all this. So, but I'm just going to do this because I feel that this is the way the Father's been leading me to really lay down the foundation of our true God, you know? Because I also see many add things on to the gospel. And I don't think the gospel needs anything to be added on to. You know, and we hear many things happening in these days. So, the God that we know is righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. This is in Psalm 97. So, righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. Righteousness is the original mind or substance of creation. It says in Psalms 85, mercy and truth have met together. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. So that is all beautiful, and it's all very close, and it's all a God that just only knows righteousness. And so you hear a lot of that because it saved my life. When I came to understand that, it saved me from whoever I thought I was, you know? So I know that I just have to find my little bit where I share. Where is that? Righteousness is acting and being in accordance with what is just, honorable, and free from guilt or wrong. So it's an upright situation. It's a situation where there is no guilt, where there is no even a feeling of sin, that you are still a sinner. You've passed that. You've passed that experience. That doesn't mean that you would never sin. I would not say that I never sin or think a bad thought or anything like that. I do. I still do. But that doesn't make me go back to where I was, where I was always walking in condemnation. I was forever walking in condemnation and trying to improve my life so I could be right with God. This went on for years and years and years. And you can never make yourself right with God. You know, you are already right. But the only trouble is, you don't know it. So, it takes a little time to come to this place that you may know this, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, his Son. So, we go to Genesis, and I would love to read that, because it's all very important. And I would just like to share this morning, Tony and I, we were sharing, and I was just sharing with him, you know, in Hebrews 10, it says, Jesus said, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. You know, I come to do your will, O God. So I think all of us now can understand this now. We now all come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I come to do your will, O God. Because this is no longer the old Martha, you see? That was the old Martha that could not ever say that. That could never even come across your mind, you know? That I come in the volume of the book. The book, we are the book. Paul said that. We are the book. And we come because we do not speak our own language anymore. We are speaking that what God says. This is so wonderful to be able to really feel that and hear that, you know? And you know what? He opens up the computer with the emails. And Audrey Drummond, we get letters from Audrey Drummond, maybe some of you do too, and she quotes exactly those scriptures.
Two scriptures.
I come, hey?
Two scriptures.
Yeah, I come to do, I come in the volume of the book, is that right? And the other one was to do your will, yeah. Oh God. See, this is this new thing, to be able to let go of all the old, let go of it, all the beliefs, and all The good and the bad that we've grown up with just all go. Behold, I will do something new, and now it will spring forth. And tonight it is springing forth because we are here together to hear that. And God is doing it. God has begun a good work in each and every one of us. We cannot do it. God is doing it. And He's leading and He's guiding us constantly. So I was just reading the scriptures in Genesis about God, because that to me is the most wonderfulest thing, to know God, you know, and to know what He said. And so you know that He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And He did it, you know. He did that, just that. And He looked at it and He saw that it was very good. Okay, we all know that, don't we? And he saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. Can you hear that? They were all finished. And God never changed that. God never changed. You know, I had a time that I really had to make a choice to know God. To know that the Genesis 1, when He created everything in His image and in His likeness, that never changed. God never changed. Adam changed it, but God stayed where He was, right there, looking at it and saw that it was very good, knowing that it was finished. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. And so this is the history. It's the Jocelyn. Jocelyn, come in. Where is she? So, okay, she will come in. And so we know that God never changes. Everything else in this world changed, but God never changed. And you know, in Zephaniah it says, the Lord your God in the midst of you, okay? That's what it's all about. Now, this is this new thing, in the midst of you. The Lord thy God in the midst of you is mighty. He will save, He will rejoice over you with singing. He will rest in His love. That's what God is doing right now. He's resting in His love, and He's waiting for us now to come with that feeling. Because once we are born again, we get this feeling that we want to do the will of God. See? And that is letting go of all our beliefs, of all the heritage thoughts that we've been brought up with, from family onto family onto family. That is all cut. The tree of the previous life was cut, and it's all gone. It's all gone. And now behold, something new is happening. And it's a spiritual awareness of who we truly are. It's absolutely wonderful. So this is where we went in here. And then we know the story of Adam. That by one man's disobedience, death reigned. We know that Adam did not quite follow that what God had ordained for him, you know. And all of a sudden, you find out that he says, I am afraid, you see. And so God said to him, who told you? See, I never told you that you should be afraid. And that was the start now of what we see in this world. And it's gone bigger and bigger and more trouble. And now it is in such a state that we don't know anymore where to turn, do we? You know? But the thing is now that now we are being established in righteousness. So we don't need to be afraid of anything, because God is always with us. Hello. Oh, that's good. So, you know, but God never left on speaking. Isn't that wonderful? Because we can read in Genesis 49 verse 10, and I've got that here on my piece of paper in another translation than this one that I have here, and it says, Genesis 49 verse 10, the scepter will not depart from Judah, or the staff from between his feet, until he whose right it is comes, and the obedience of the people belongs to him. Now, I'm going to read this again, okay? Because I am very familiar with this scripture. The scepter, God is speaking through Jacob. That is, you know, when in the olden days the father always gives a word to all the children, okay? So he had 12 kids, didn't he? So he gives all words to all these kids. So now he comes to Judah. And we all know that Judah means praise. And, you know, that's another beautiful story behind this son called Judah. Because you know the story of Jacob, that he really loved Rachel. Remember that story? And he had to work 7 years for Rachel. But then when that 7 years came, you know that he ended up, because they were all so covered over with clothes, that he couldn't see the bride. And it was Leah, it was her older sister, that he got married to that night. So he was kind of deceived. And Leah never was accepted by Jacob as his wife. Do you understand? And so this is such a beautiful story, really, of this human existence that we have had and the spiritual life where we come above all these feelings that we all have experienced. We have all have experienced in our humanity things that really hurt, that were really painful, and we could never get anywhere. Leah, if you read it, Leah was the one that could bear children. So she bore a son, and she would say, now my husband will be happy with me, okay? But Jacob was not happy with her, because he loved Rachel. He never loved Leah. So can you see the pain that was going on in this world? And that's what we have. In this world, we have all these pains. And then Leah again becomes pregnant, and she brings forth another son. And she said, now my son will accept me and love me and, you know, accept me as his wife and be happy. And no, he did not. And then a third time, she bears him a son and said, now he will be happy with me. And he was not. And you can see how cruel this world is, this humanity, this inhumanity to humanity is shocking. So that's why God says, I'm doing something new. Forget these former things. And then she gets pregnant again with the fourth child, and that is Judah. Okay? She names him Judah. And now she never said, my husband will be happy with him. You know what she said? I will praise the Lord. See? She's come above all this feeling of being rejected. I mean, half this world is suffering with a rejection problem. Maybe more than half. 75%. All the pain and all the anguish that people experience and kill other people for these days, they think nothing of it. It's all because of rejection. And here, Leah just comes right above this whole thing, and she says, I will pray. Not a mention about her husband. She said, I will praise the Lord. How wonderful is that? You know, and so she calls him Judah. So, and Judah means praise. So now we go back to the scripture, which says, because now Jacob is not aware of any of this, all this stuff. Now Jacob is laying his hands on Judah, and he says, the scepter will not depart from Judah. Okay, now, you know what a scepter is? We all know what a scepter is. It's a ruling rod. You remember? The queen, she uses a scepter and she knights the people, doesn't she? So God's got a scepter too. Isn't that good? So that scepter, what he has, that ruling rod, will never depart from him or from the Son of God, because that's where we're going to come to, because we are all the Son of God, you know, the expression of the Son of God. So here we come. The scepter will not depart from Judah. See? So the ruling rod, or an authoritative feeling, will never depart from praise. So if you experience something which might be contrary, and you, regardless of all, you praise, "I will praise the Lord," see, then that authority will never depart from praise. And you will see that it will go before you, and it will straighten out the crooked path. Isn't that beautiful? So that ruling rod, that authoritative understanding, if you like to call it, will never depart from praise. It will never depart from Judah. Because it's got two meanings. It's got a spiritual meaning, and it's got a natural meaning. Because out of Judah, eventually, the lineage, Jesus came. Okay, can you see that? It's all connected. It's double. It's always double. And that's the beauty of it. And he says, "And the staff from between his feet, until he whose right it is comes." Now, do you understand that sentence? Until he whose right it is comes. Now, that means, and the obedience of the people belongs to him. Now, we are having here a people that are not really are born again of the Spirit of God. You understand? See, Leah got that understanding, and she rose above this feeling of this world, this humanity feeling, you know, trying to... I mean, how many of us... we're expecting something from the other partner, you know, from somebody else. We're expecting. We're expecting our mother to love us. We're expecting my sister, my brother. "Oh, he hurt me. He done that." See, this expecting from outside of you is now no longer necessary for us that are going on to know God aright. Okay? So, he says here, "The scepter will not depart from Judah, or the staff from between his feet, until he whose right it is comes, and the obedience of the people belongs to him." So this is actually God is already speaking that there is someone coming that is the Christ, that is the Messiah, whose right it is. Because it is Christ's right to live as us. We've lived our own lives for many, many years. We've lived our own lives. But that's not really, it was not our right to live our own life. It is Christ's right to live our life. So he's coming, you see? It's already prophesying here. "And unto him shall the obedience of the people be," or in this translation, "and the obedience of the people belongs to him." Now, we used to sing this, and we used to sing it like this. "We are gathering together unto him." Okay, you know that one? "Unto him shall the gathering of the people be." But this is another translation. I like this one better, because it tells you, until he whose right it is comes, and that is the Christ. And we are so privileged, because this was thousands of years ago, and here we are today. We are experiencing this verse happening in our life here today. And that is why I get so excited about this. And so we are not here for you to follow Tony and Martha or to follow Kathy or to follow Mike or anything. Unto him shall the obedience of the people be. And you know, if you check out the word obedience, in the Latin it is Obadiah or something like that. And it means the listening, the hearing. Unto him shall the hearing be. See, we will hear, you know. See, and so when our ears are open and we begin to hear that it is his right. So it is happening here today that Christ is now living as us. And so wonderful. That is so wonderful. And so this is the start. This is the end. God, you know, God speaks to us everywhere. And oh man, I would be here a month if I would quote every scripture in there where it says that, you know. And so I'm just going to pick up a few. And I love this this story of Balaam and Balak. And in that story, if you ever sit down to read that in Numbers, you can find out the nature of God is so very much expressed in that story. Because Balak, that's the prince of this world, calls the prophet Balaam to curse Israel. And of course, Balaam comes and I don't know how many times they make this offer and they burn all these bullocks and stuff, and then Balaam is supposed to curse Israel, and every time Balaam will say, I'm sorry, I can only say what God says, you know. And it is so beautiful. So now here Balaam gets a little eye opener, and he says, the oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of the man whose eyes are opened, the oracle of one who hears the sayings of God and has knowledge from the Most High, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls in a trance with his eyes uncovered. I see him, he said. I see him, but not now. I perceive him, but not near. A star will come from Jacob. See, that's the natural lineage. The star was going to come, and that was Jesus Christ, the Christ. The manifestation of the Christ was to come. The manifestation of God himself was to come, you know. And a scepter will arise from Israel. See, this ruling rod, this Christ Jesus, when he came, you know, he was a carpenter. Just think of it. He was a carpenter. And he comes out in the open and begins to speak the oracles of God, like what Balaam did here. But they couldn't hear him. And how hard it is still today for people to hear him, you know? And so that's why, see, it says in Isaiah 42, I think, that Jesus never lost courage. He kept on keeping on sharing what he had to say from God, you know? And we're facing that same thing with our families, how much we'd love our children or whoever to hear what we are hearing, because it will change their lives, you know. See, so we are still going on to share this beautiful spiritual understanding of who we are now, really, what our true nature is, that we are not flesh and blood, but that truly we are like Jesus. The Christ is being manifest as us now. You know, it's just so beautiful when you come to see this whole thing. It's just going through the whole Bible, because You know, when Tony and I, we met in Holland, many moons ago now, and so he left to go to Australia, and I would come a year and 4 months later. So we were separated. So what happens when you're separated? You write letters to each other. See? And now with God, we were separated from God. So what's happening? God is writing letters to us. He's writing all these beautiful bits and pieces all over the place. And the Holy Spirit, He will just guide you and make sure you read the right passage, okay? Because there's lots of passages in there. My friend said to me the other day, I can't read it, Martha. I said, no, I understand that. But you know, you've got to know where to read, don't you? And so then we go on, we just jump the whole book, nearly, and we go on to Isaiah 9, where it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon its shoulder. And of the increase of his kingdom there shall be no end. And here we are today. We are understanding what that all is, don't we? Hey? And his name shall be called Wonderful. And it is so wonderful. You couldn't be in a better place than to be in the presence of that one whose right it is, who is now beginning to take the ascendancy in our lives. Isn't that something else? You know, here we are, we're sitting and we're experiencing now the things what we are reading. Because we've been reading it for 20 years, me, and never experienced anything. But now, he says, I will do a new thing, and you will experience this thing. You know, so it is wonderful. So then we come to the place, I just like to follow it on the whole story, you know, till we come to the grand finale. And so that is... The grand finale is just it's just wonderful. But you know, even the little sentences, just the little sentences here, there, and everywhere, it's just whoo, just like fireworks, Mike. It just explodes, you know. It explodes within you, and this one. Oh, how that has helped me. When the angel visited Mary. What an experience. You know, we read those things, but we don't really think what that now really was, you know. Can you imagine a young girl and this angel coming, you know? What a faith. What a faith she had to receive it. God, to Jesus came and as many... They couldn't receive him. His own people couldn't receive him. How sad. Because it would have changed the whole world. Could you imagine if the ones would have heard that walked the earth when Jesus was here, what would have happened? What a world we would have? When he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you. What do we have out there now? I don't even want to think about it. I can't even go there many times. You know, if you watch the news and the stuff, and the boys that are having to go to these countries and constantly do all this fighting, I can't allow myself to think about it, because it is this world. So Jesus said, I come to show you a different world. My kingdom is not of this world. And I just want to encourage myself. Go for it. Go for it. Don't let up. Because we are the beginning. Do you understand that? We're the first fruits that are beginning to see this now. You know that you are the first fruit. Because you can hardly talk to anybody about it. They haven't got a clue. They don't know what you're saying. They don't know where you're coming from. They don't understand. And that's why God, in Proverbs, he said, with all your understanding, get understanding. But all you're getting, get understanding. And you know, how do we get understanding? The foundation of understanding. Now, how's it go again?
Willingness to listen.
Pardon?
A foundation of
understanding is the willingness to listen. And how hard it is for us to begin to listen. You know, we always want to do the talking, don't we? And so, how hard that is. And this beautiful man, and now I'm jumping the gun, I won't do that, I'll go here, Mary. And this is how I started. Let it be unto me, God, the way that you're telling me. You're telling me something. She listened. She heard. She heard something. You know? Let it be unto me, according to your word. And gosh, I had no revelation when I first started. I just read these things. And I just begin to obey it. You know? By the law. It was law. The way I started was law. You know, because I had no revelation yet. It was all just obeying what God said. And Mary did that. She said, let it be unto me, according to your word. And here he comes. He's born. Look at all these angels singing there. Wow, these shepherds. All of a sudden, this choir. Wow, what an experience. They go find him in a stable. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In a stable. Doesn't really matter, does it? Doesn't really matter where we are. Doesn't really matter at all. God is everywhere present. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. So then when Jesus was 8 days old, he was taken to the temple. You know that, don't you? Where's my bit of paper? Haven't got it, but I know it. Simeon was waiting in the temple for all these years. God had promised that he would not be leaving this planet until he had seen the Messiah. Yeah. And in the Woosh translation, it says, he spoke. See? God's always speaking. I'm speaking. But it's not me that's speaking. It's God that's speaking. Because he's given me this wonderful, wonderful revelation of the beginning of this new thing. This Spirit. The Spirit is like my words, Jesus said. They are Spirit and they are life. It changed my life. And it's continually changing my life into the image and the likeness of God. And that's what I, Father, want to do your will. See, I'm coming to volume of the book. I want to do your will, oh my God. You know why? Because it's doing me good. <That's> because I know it's the way. It is the truth. And it is the life. So here comes Simeon. He will be as a light to the Gentiles. Wasn't that strange for a Jew in a Jewish temple to say that he would be a light to the Gentiles? They hated the Gentiles. And here comes out of his mouth, this Jew, in the Jewish temple. See, God just overrules everything. Isn't that wonderful? He just goes right over the top of everything. And sometimes we think we know something. And then God just overrules. Isn't that wonderful? I love him. He's my Father, and he's your Father, and he's everybody's Father. The whole world. Now we can see that we have all been redeemed by that Savior that came to show us who we truly are. We are the offspring of God. You know, now let it be unto me according to your word. And you know what it said, what Simeon said, because this is comes out of the Woosh translation. That's why I like different translations, because they have a different feeling. The guys that translated it, they all have different feelings, you know. And they say the same thing, but it's just a little bit more expanded. That's the right word, isn't it? So it says, a light to the nations for the unveiling of. And that's all it says. For the unveiling of. Okay. So what was... This is just this baby, you know. 8 days. 8 days old. He was to be a light to the nations or to the Gentiles for the unveiling of. So, the unveiling started with him. Self. Started with Jesus first. The unveiling. Because what happens when he's 12 years old? Mom and daddy can't find him. And they walk all the way back. And they're going to walk back again. Because where is their son? Their son is sitting with all these guys. They're going through the Word of God. You see, but what's happening to Jesus? There's something completely different. Something different happening to Jesus altogether than what was happening to all these Pharisees. Jesus, you know, it says in Psalm 40, had his ears opened. How's that? He began to hear things that these Pharisees could not see. The Pharisees were having a religion. And how much have we created that out there? Religions. They cannot really hear what I am saying now. They cannot hear. They've got their rules and their laws the way that they say it's going to be done. Anything outside of that, they cannot hear. You know? But Jesus was beginning to hear something. And what did he say when his father and mother found him? How come that you are surprised that I'm sitting with these men? I am doing my father's work. I'm hearing my father. So he's beginning to hear something completely different than the Pharisees. And this continued on, see? So there's an unveiling happening in Jesus himself first. It had to be that way. That it had to come because he was born of a woman, born under the law, born in that religious setting, the same way as you and I. We are all born of a woman, and mommy and daddy don't really know the true God. Some of you might have brought up in religions, but it is not really the true God, because it's still a lot of law. It's not really the grace of God that we are now beginning to see. You see, so here he is experiencing the unveiling. Oh, then the day comes when he has found his disciples, and the day comes and he says, well, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? See, something completely unheard of. Peter opened his mouth. See, it comes from within. It's all in there. There is a spirit in each and every one of us. There's a spirit in man. In everyone that gets born into this earth, there is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty will give you understanding. So what did Jesus say when Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God? Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, Peter. Can you hear that? See, he didn't come from flesh and blood. Didn't come by what he had learned in Sunday school and all those catechisms and all the stuff what all these Jews have to learn. Right. He never learned it there, right. Did he?
No.
Peter was just standing there. All of a sudden, this word, and it comes out of his mouth. Same as with Simeon. Same as it now. It's coming out of our mouth. That's what God says. You know? Beautiful. Oh, it's so beautiful. So, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So, it's the substance of God, the Christ. What is the Christ? Christ is the image of God, you know? And so we go on. Oh, gosh, where are we? Oh, I haven't looked at the time. What time we started? How far are we going? Okay. All right. For the unveiling of. For the unveiling. Okay. So now it's happening to each and every one of us. It's going to happen to every single soul that walks this earth. One day they will say to someone, who do you say that I am? Ah, you are the Christ, the Son of the Living God. You are. We still feel a bit funny, don't we?
Yeah.
Eh? We still have a bit of a funny feeling, don't you think? See, now Paul had the revelation, Christ in you, the hope of glory. See? We can handle that one. That doesn't make us feel funny, does it? Because we've read it for a long time, and we're acquainted to it. But I really do believe that we are going on. You see, it's all unveiling. And with Paul, it was still also unveiling the truth. And I mean, he didn't say that, what we're saying. Now, who? See, Jesus came out of the lineage of David. See? A physical lineage. So he was the Son of Man. You and I were born of a woman and a man. We are born into this world. You know, we think that we are physical beings until we become born again. Don't we? Then something begins to happen in us where we are experiencing a change in us.
Right.
You know? And that is a constantly ongoing of understanding, of getting to know God more and more. It is possible because Jesus prayed the prayer. And there's one prayer that's going to be answered, and that's Jesus' prayer. That we may know the only true God and Jesus Christ his Son. For that is the life, you know. That is that life. The life was manifest. We are just so privileged, really, that our ears are being opened and our eyes are beginning to see. Hold on to it. Don't let go. Make it the most important thing in your life always. You know? Spend time with it. And I'm talking to myself. Because you can get so busy with all sorts of things. And so this is just so precious. So, who am I? See, we're rising constantly. Come up higher. And God said that to us all the time. Come up higher in your understanding. You know? So he says to, this little story. You all know the story. The story with Nicodemus. You know, look, he was a guy that was in the church all the time. And here he comes to Jesus and find out what this is all about, you see? And so you can see, you know, there's an awakening needs to happen. Oh, got a lovely little story. We've all been sleeping, you know? And we all know the story of the Sleeping Beauty. And I love this. At Andre Rios. Andre Rios got this a little bit. And this Sleeping Beauty, this beautiful girl is there sleeping. And here comes the prince. And the prince comes and gives her a kiss. And she awakens. See, we've all been asleep. And sometimes I'm still asleep. And then the Prince of Revelation, you see? Because now this thing you cannot learn in a book. This whole new thing that God is doing is not to be found in books. It's in you already. So, and then this prince comes and gives you a kiss. This Prince of Revelation. Oh, come.
That's awesome.
Come, my prince. And keep on coming. Because I need to be awoken more and more and more. And we begin to wake up. You know? We begin to see things that we have never seen before. That are so wonderful. Beyond, You know, Paul says it, I have not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, that what God has prepared for those that love him. Do you love him?
Yes.
You wouldn't be here if you didn't love him. You know, and it says in Hebrews 9 that he appears to those a second time, to those that are looking for him. Are you looking for him?
Yes.
I am. I found him too. He says, "You can be. I will be found of you." He says,
"That's right.
If you search for me with all your heart." See, your heart needs to be searching for him, and then he will be found of us. We will find him, and he will find us. And there will be the connection forever. Never to be changed again. Never to go back to what we have known before. Remember not the former things. Okay, when we got that, because Tony and I, we were pretty down in the dumps. When that word of righteousness came to us, I just want to show you that scripture. Wait a minute, let me have a look how I'm going. Because that, I find that just so important. Here it is. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I'll share this every time. I share the same thing all the time, I think. Because it's so important. But I am growing. I am not the same as last year. I know. I am different. Even though I might say the same words. But it's different for me.
Yes.
It's higher. It's deeper. God is so wonderful. You know, you cannot just really put it in words, can you? You know, and it's that scripture here. For he who knew no sin was made sin. Now that's Jesus. So we're still talking about Jesus, okay? The unveiling. And then he comes to the place at the at where he prayed. He's going to face the cross. Oh no, before that, just a little. The thing in the wilderness when he was tested. You know, because, see, God says also in the old, I lay in Zion for a foundation. See, that's what I'm talking about tonight, the foundation, you know. I lay in Zion for a foundation. We all know that Zion is the kingdom of God. That's the language of the scripture, you know. But it's the kingdom of, I lay the foundation, you see. And we've got to learn to be still and listen. But what God is saying, what our Father is teaching us, not what we have learned, all the doctrines and all that stuff, what we have learned from books in this world, in the churches that we have been, that all goes with this, okay? For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that I, who knew no righteousness, was made righteous. Now, so I now, because this is the cross, okay? This is where he died. This, for he was wounded for our transgressions. He laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That was the not believing him.
Right.
That's an iniquity, you know? The biggest sin in the world is really not knowing. Not knowing. There's a word for it, forgot the word. Not knowing who you really are. You know, that's the biggest problem now. So at that cross, you see, all of this goes. All of that humanity goes. All of it. The religions that you've been brought up in. So you can see what still is going to happen in this whole world for us to come all to this place of being all of one mind. What Jesus also says in John 17, it's such a wonderful chapter. When we all come to understand that I am in you and you are in me. And that's the whole world. There is only one. There is only one presence. And it's in each and every one of us. But we all have to wake up to it, see? And begin to recognize. Recognize. Then that peace of Jesus will begin to flow. And in a matter of time, all the wars will stop.
Yeah.
Because it says that also prophesied in that there shall be no more war or hurt on all my holy mountain.
Yeah.
And it is coming. See, it was prophesied in Genesis about the scepter shall not depart from Judah until he comes whose right it is. And here, how many thousands of years later are we from this, what was written there? You see? So the other scriptures where it says there shall be no more hurt in all my holy mountain are also going to come to pass. It's all going to come to pass. It's only, it's all unfolding now. It's like what I say, the veil is being taken away. It's going to happen to everyone in this earth. But it will happen at their time.
Yes.
Right. See, when my time came, that I said, God, where are you? You know, how come that we are suffering so severely? And I go outdoors and look up the sky and thinking God is up there somewhere. That's what I was taught. You know, God is up there in heaven somewhere. So I'm looking up there. And I said, where are you? See, that, actually that was a turning point in my life because I was so desperate that I did not know any more where to turn. Okay, so then it begins to happen. Doesn't all happen overnight, but line upon line.
Yeah.
Here a little and there a little.
Yeah.
You're having the courage to keep going.
Yeah.
And every day a new day, and you just keep going. Until eventually, I don't know how many years later, that word of righteousness came to us. This. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for me, that I, who knew no righteousness, was made righteous. Was made at right standing with God. See? And so then my life began to change. Do you know what? My whole sin consciousness disappeared. Would you believe that? I no longer saw or felt myself to be unworthy or a sinner. It's strange. But that is, let it be unto me according to your word, God. There's nothing I can do. Can we do something? Tony says that so often, I never think about it. Can we keep our heart going all night when we are sleeping? And here we are sleeping. We don't even know we exist at that moment in time. Half the time when I wake up, I don't know where I am. So, I mean, where have I been all night? You know, I've been sleeping. And all the time my heart is going. All the time I'm breathing. Now, who's doing all that stuff? You know, isn't that wonderful? So, you know, if we can trust him. You know, we have to trust what we are hearing, and it will be life unto us. See, because, see, righteousness is not just a word. It's being free from guilt. It's being upright. The work of righteousness will be peace. It's peace. The peace of Jesus. You know, I had my friend, I don't know if anybody heard this, but I had such an experience with my friend. She was so ill, had been so ill for so long, and she was agitated. She was in hospital, we visited, and she was agitated. You know, no wonder you get fed up with all that stuff. You know, and I sat next to her, and I began to sing that song. Peace I leave with you. Do you know, we'll know that one. Tony sings it all the time. My peace I give unto you, not as this world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I leave with you. And you know, I sat in that hospital room, and I sat there for about a half an hour, and I sang that song over and over again. And you know what? She became as peaceful. The whole room was filled with peace. The nurses would come in and say, Jeanette, we want to be here because this is where I can feel the peace. That's the peace of Jesus. It will quieten your troubled heart. And that's why I said there is nothing else in this whole world that can can satisfy as the peace of Jesus satisfies your troubled soul when it gets troubled. And we all get our troubles.
Yeah.
Because we are not off this world, but we are still in this world, and there's still things happening that we don't appreciate. That's when we need the peace of Jesus. And we can smile, and all is well with our soul. So, I think I will come to my final scripture. And that is... Oh, I just need to tell you this about the heart. When the heart... Because, you see, I used to be so frustrated because I did not know why our lives were so in so much trouble. I could not understand that because I didn't want that. I wanted to have a happy family with happy children and a happy husband and a happy wife. And I was frustrated out of my mind because I didn't know why we were arguing every night. And it would happen over and over again. And I just... So the frustration... was severe in my life, you know. So I found this little bit here. For with the heart, faith is exercised, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made, resulting in salvation. Okay? Now, that word resulting in the Latin comes out to be rebound. Rebound. To leap. See? To leap. When your heart turns to the Lord, the veil is rent, Paul says. We were talking about the renting of the veil, or what was it, the word again? Forgot now. What Simeon said there, that for the unveiling. Yeah. For the unveiling, see? So when your heart turns to God, the unveiling begins to happen. And you leap back into the place where you belonged all the time. And that is in the bosom of God. That's where you were meant to be all the time. But you didn't know it, right? So one day, this happens when your heart in, you all of a sudden begin to see things you've never seen before. And to recover from a setback. You see, we had a setback. You understand that? See, we had a setback. We didn't know who we really were. So when the heart turns to God, we come back to the place where we really belong. So, or recover from the frustration. See, I am no longer frustrated. Oh, thank God. Thank Him. Just thank Him for what He's doing in our lives. Because now we don't need to be frustrated at all. Because we really know. We know what's happening most of the time. We know. You know, even when you go off the path, you know you're off the path. But now you can say, God, thank God, Father, I can come back on your path, you know. It's much more peaceful there, you know. And it's much more... wonderful, the way to walk. Okay, so that was about the heart resulting, that's right, isn't it? Yeah, resulting to rebound, to leap back to where we belong. Oh, thank you, God. So that wonderful, wonderful scripture I'm going to finish with, and that is in two scriptures. One, 2 Corinthians, isn't it? For God... who commanded the light to shine. That's 2 Corinthians, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 4, yeah. God commanded the light to shine. Out of darkness has shined in our heart. To give the knowledge... I better read it. Because I do know it, but now it just slipped me. And for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So that's why I wanted to lay this foundation, because it's nowhere else, and we all know that. We all know that, but not everybody knows that. It's only to be found in the face of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the face of Jesus Christ? When we arrived in Detroit, we were getting our suitcases, you know, and I see Mike coming, walking in, okay? I see a face. I recognize his face. And we were happy to see each other, embrace each other. I said, Mike! And there he comes. And we embraced each other. It's a recognition.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, what's the face of Jesus? It says here, it's in the face of Jesus. So, what is the face of Jesus? It's not a physical face. It's not a man. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he said and shall he not do it? Has he spoken and shall he not make it good? Now, he's always making it good. Okay? I have blessed and I cannot reverse it. This is the true God. He has blessed in the beginning. He can never reverse it. So you can never come to a God that curses and blesses. Okay? So this is where you've got to have the courage to say and know that is not the true God. Okay? The true God stops with a few verses after Genesis 1. The one that he said it was finished and he rested. He's resting in his love. He's waiting for all of us to wake up to his true nature, that we may really know him, that he is not a God of blessing and cursing, not of good and evil, that is all crucified, gone, pshht, done away with. So now we have this in the face of Jesus Christ. What have we talked about? We talked about a spiritual substance, a knowing. Flesh and blood had not revealed this to you, Peter. And so what did Jesus say? Upon this rock, upon this mighty revelation, I will build my church. Here we are today, okay? We are on that. We are the continuation of that. Beautiful revelation.
Yeah.
So it's in the revelation,
right,
in the face of Jesus Christ. It's in the recognition of what he is revealing to us.
Mm-hmm.
Flesh and blood cannot reveal this to us. You feel it in your heart.
Yeah.
You feel it in your life. You have a feeling of his presence. It's his face.
That's right.
You know, that is his face. We're not worshipping a man called Jesus.
Yeah.
But it's still Christ Jesus. It can't go away from the name. The name is forever there.
Yeah.
The recognition. We can recognize who it is. You know, now we're going on Mother Christ. Because I am the Christ too. He was the firstborn, it says, from the dead. He was the firstborn of many brethren. And yet we haven't got fully the courage to receive it, or to take it, or to not, and we don't have that funny feeling anymore. Oh gosh, who do you think you are, you know? And that kind of, that kind of thought, you know? See? Immediately,
yeah.
That thought, the devil, it's the devil. He wants to discourage you, that you're not, but you are. If God says you are, well then you are, aren't you? Nobody can take that from you.
Right.
Same as what Mary received from the angel. God said it. Wow. What was that? Giving birth, and then 9 months later, giving birth to this baby, and then Simeon saying he's going to be for a light. That is all strange language. I mean, they have never had experienced that before. That was the first time. That was a new thing. Behold, I will do something new. But it's scary. You know, it can be very scary. And awesome. I mean, it's still going on. It's going on, this unveiling. What do you think about this I? I that I am. don't you think that that is awesome?
Mm.
I think that is very awesome.
Mm.
I am. Then I am. Is that somebody, something next to me? Or is it out there somewhere?
Mm.
I am that I am. Is that there somewhere?
Mm.
So I don't have to face up to it?
Right.
No, it's here. I have to receive that. To as many as received him. And it's ongoing. And it's becoming, whoa, big. Big. This is so big. No wonder everybody runs. No, it's big. It is big thing.
It's scary.
And I think it's awesome that God would have done this. God is presenting this to us. Who am I? That I'm speaking about these things.
Right.
You know. Wow, then I can be still and know that I'm God. Because then I want to be still. You know, because I think, oh, Father, this is big. I am that I am. So whenever I say I, what I'm going to say next? Because you bring it forth. That's how Adam began to create this world. I am afraid. God never told him that he was afraid. Did he now? God even said, who told you?
Right.
He did. God didn't repeat it, did he?
Yeah.
God never said it. Adam said it. I am afraid. Now look what we've got out there. And sometimes I'm still afraid. So things happen. And the first reaction is, you know. But then I know now. I don't have to go there. You see? We don't have to go there. Don't go there.
Right.
Then I say to myself, don't go there. You don't have to go there now. You know? You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're a new creature. All things have become new. And that's what we did too when we heard that word of righteousness. You know, David, open unto me the gates of righteousness and I will go into them. And we did. And we closed the gate behind us. No past. Don't allow yourself to think on anything that is not profiting for you of the past.
Amazing.
Don't go there. Don't remember. Remember not the former things, he says. You know, and some people have really, really been hurt in the past. Don't go there. It's all forgiven. It's all taken away. Jesus took it all away. He took it all away. Just stay there. Stay with the understanding that he took it all away. And it will become flesh in you. The word has become flesh. See, the word was become flesh in Jesus. But now it's happening to us. The word is now becoming flesh in us. You know? And now this the other verse. That's in 1 Corinthians 3. I like to finish that because it's also again with the face. You know? In the face. I just love it. It goes like... oh dear. Where is it? Not here. 1 Corinthians... No. But we all with open face are beholding the Lord as in a glass.
2 Corinthians chapter 3.
2 Corinthians. See, I'm still not always right there with that. You see, before that, Paul is all talking about first there was a righteousness of the law, you see, but we are not in that anymore. And then he said, he ends up with this here. He ends up, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Okay? But now this beautiful verse. But we all, okay, we all, with open face now. We don't have a closed face now. We really have an open face. I can see it on you. I can see it on people that have a closed face. You know, your countenance speaks still, even in this body, you know. So we now with an open face are beholding the Lord as in a glass, or it says in here, as in a mirror. So what are we seeing? We're seeing God in the mirror. See? And so then, we are being transformed. Isn't that awesome? See, that's God doing. You know, has nothing to do with us. All we need to do is just look in that mirror. Look in that face of Jesus. You know, and we are being transformed from glory to glory. Wow, do you guys understand what glory is? It is something that is so wonderful, because I've got this in Dutch, you see. And that word that is translated in Dutch is not in, I cannot tell you in English. You know what it is? You know what it tells you, what it feels like? The feeling? Because it's a feeling. You know, God is a feeling. It's not the five senses. It's a wonderful presence. And it says in the Dutch translation, when you have, how's it go again? When you've been a borrower all your life, that means you've been in lack all your life. That is a horrible feeling, because I've been there for a while. Okay, I was there for a while. That I had to count over every cent, you know, before I'd spend it, you see, and make sure that I could make ends meet. Now that's a feeling that is not very pleasant. So you always have to nearly borrow. You know, you're borrowing. And now, the glory, you're becoming a lender. Now I have so much that I can lend. That's the feeling. That's the glory. That's glory in Dutch. A wonderful freedom that we have in God. A freedom that is beyond our understanding. So, okay, I'll start again. But we all with an unveiled, you see that? This translation says unveiled.
Yep.
But I remember we used to sing the song, and we used to sing, we all with open face are beholding. And this says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So I say amen to that. Amen. And I thank you all for listening, because it is just really, really wonderful to look into the face of Jesus, and that's where it is, in that wonderful presence that is life forevermore. Life forevermore in this presence where we can be always, always, and draw all others into this wonderful presence where there is peace and joy. That was the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance. And how many people are looking for assurance? It cannot be found out there. The assurance is in the face of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, into that spiritual. He's a life-giving spirit now. He's not a man. He's a life-giving spirit. And that's what we acknowledge. Okay? And the doggy says, amen. So let's just all be still. Now, if you have any questions, I really appreciate that you've all been quiet. If you have any questions, write it on a piece of paper. And then we can answer it, okay? Then we can wait on the Lord, and we can answer the questions then, okay? Because that's really good. I like that. Very good. Okay, thank you. So we're going to just be still for just a minute or so, right? And just thank the Father.